Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program has been, over the last few years, an evolution of consciousness and how we as a society, as a group of evolving humans, are becoming more alive, more awake in our bodies, in our mind, in our spirits. And one of my favorite subjects that I've been focusing over the years has been sexuality, and particularly Tantra, and the way these ancient societies have been able to integrate sexuality into spirituality and have us become whole human beings. And that's why I'm talking tonight to two of my new favorite people, Maria Nelson and Hans Voss. And they have a great system of Tantra that they've developed over the years. I think it's really going to help a lot of people not only become more open to sexual energies, but more integrated and more have more pleasure in their lives. And if people have more pleasure in their lives, they feel better and they're more open to spirituality. So welcome.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
Thank you both for being here digitally and in person. let's talk about sort of the history of how, maybe we start with you, Hans. How did you first become aware that there was something like Tantra as opposed to what most people think is sort of unconscious sexuality? What was your introduction?
Well, my introduction was that originally I was what you would call a skeptic. I was playing music, but in my mind, I was a skeptic. Usually musicians, they kind of believe a lot in things, but I was like, I had a kind of engineering background, and I was really kind of like both feet on the ground, as you'd say. You know, I wanted scientific proof for everything. But all of this changed when in music school, I met Maria, who was sitting next to me there.
Lovely Maria, yes.
Yeah, I loved Maria, and I fell head over heels in love. And it was like I was kind of realizing that this falling in love was large part and due to the fact that her view of life was so different from mine. And this was fascinating me, you know. She would drop all these kind of weird statements here and there and comments about different kind of chakras or different kind of feelings or emotions in the body or different kind of weird yoga positions. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of blew my mind, you know, because I kind of rejected it. At the same time, it was deeply fascinating, you know.
Wow. Well, That's it. Thank you for being so honest about that. Let me ask Maria then. So you've been into this for a long time before you met Helen.
Yes.
What was it that you were into?
I think I just from very, very early on had this feeling of energy in my body flowing. And right after high school, I went to India to be in this Osho community.
Oh, you're part of Osho.
Yeah,
yes.
Or at least I was. I'm still into it somehow.
Yes.
And so I started there. When I came back to Denmark, Copenhagen, I found what is called the Misa School. It's a tantric school with a master called Gregorian.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to practice that.
Before you met Hans?
Yes.
Ah.
So 2 years before I started really being very focused on tantra yoga and practicing.
And then you met Hans and you said, guess what? And he fell in love with you.
Yeah.
And do you fall in love with him?
Definitely.
Oh, that is so cute. Let's see. but then he was a pretty hardcore guy. And how did you get him into it?
It needed some talking, you know. Mm-hmm. It was not from one day to the next. I think it took maybe a year before he actually started to want to practice stuff. But then Hans is really like a focused guy. And when he's onto something, then he really starts. So actually he started really like to practice and to be really serious about it.
Yeah, he's made a whole career out of it now. So So what was it that got you? I mean, yes, you dropped hints, Hans. But then what was it that really got you saying, wow, there's really something to this?
Well, Maria said she was going to a yoga camp in Romania, of all places. And this kind of fascinated me because Romania, I mean, at that point in time, which was like the 90s, at that point in time, yeah, like 15 years back, Romania was still really like a bit of a, sorry to say Romanians, but it was kind of perceived as a bit of a backward place, you know.
It's still backward, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the only things that you were seeing were like these pictures of these poor, impoverished kids in these horrible homes, you know. it was this kind of, you know, Romania, ooh, Dracula, you know. So for me, it was like, wow, this place is kind of far out. And that, now this woman that I'm in love with is saying that she's going to go down there to go to some yoga camp. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I was deeply fascinated. So I decided to tag along, and off we went. Mm. And actually, we ended up at a very charming place. It's called Herculane, mm-hmm. which is a kind of small village in the mountains in Romania, which is well known for its therapeutical water, which kind of springs out of the earth.
Mm. Nice.
So we went down there, and then we were attending this yoga camp. And this was deeply fascinating for me because it was really kind of weird and wondrous at the same time, if you can say that in English.
Yes, you can. That's very well said. Yes.
So what really hooked me then, like why I said, wow, this is really something, was we were meditating up in the mountains. Uh-huh. And her teacher, her guru, was also meditating up there with us. And the topics that where we were meditating upon was simply just mind-blowing. I mean, he would take up a topic such as, for example, the grace of the divine, and then everybody would sit and meditate upon that feeling. There would be music, but he would be like sitting there meditating. He'd be somehow sending out this state. And then the next state he'd be sending out would be the state of spiritual fraternity, for example. Like really interesting topics, you know. What does it feel like to meditate on the state of spiritual fraternity? Mm. And then he would meditate on the state of grace, for example.
So would you feel, did you feel things when you would do that meditation?
Definitely. It was like the heart was exploding.
Wow.
Like a third dimension. Because like if you've been used to living life in two dimensions, which I'd say is like the normal reality for most people, it's a bit two-dimensional, you know.
Yeah.
You live life, you have a program that you follow, 9-to-5 work, you know. Most people have got this kind of internal program running in their minds with education. You got to finish education, then you got to go find a job. You work from 9-to-5, you get the house, you get the wife, you get the kids, then you get the retirement, and then you die. You know, it's like a program that most people follow.
Yeah.
What I call two-dimensional life, because the third dimension is the like the intensity where you kind of break through this two-dimensional barrier, which is a bit like a screen on the movie, you know. And then when you break through it, and then you start finding the real depth behind things.
Right. Well, it's much harder to break through in Denmark because people are so, you know, locked into something there. You know, so
definitely.
Yeah. Kind of big thing. So you realize that it was a program, huh?
Yeah, I realized it was kind of programmed, because once you activate the heart and you kind of go into these deeper realms, then it's like you suddenly shoot up above your life and you can see a much bigger perspective.
So that was a new experience for you, activating your heart into feeling, huh?
Yes, totally.
Wow, were you surprised about that, Maria?
Yeah, I mean, it was like from one person to a completely different person.
Wow, that was a real transformation,
huh? It was. I must say that from the very beginning when I met Hans, I felt that he had this spirituality in him, that he was just blocking it with his mind. Right. Because I felt that he could actually feel things, but he just didn't want, or he didn't believe in what he felt. And that camp in Romania, it's for sure, also opened him a lot.
So he was feeling things like most people, but they were blocking it because they're not allowed or even shown that we're supposed to feel those things.
Yeah.
So everyone's like that then, right?
Everyone. I believe so.
I think so too. Definitely, so, yeah. But Hans, you did it. You came over to the other side. And so
quite transcendent.
What's that?
It was quite transcendent somehow, this experience.
So when you got back from Romania, you were not the same person, were you?
No, I was not the same person. I said, okay, so the human being is very deep. Mm. I think what happened to me in Romania was I kind of peeked into my soul somehow.
Mm.
And the soul is like this kind of depth of being that everybody has, which kind of extends beyond the boundaries of the life that we are in right now.
Mm, nice.
It's almost like this reservoir that collects experience from life to life, and then you go through from life to life and you kind of enrich this soul even more and more and more. So I was like, yeah, okay, I have this soul which is full of some deep emotion here, and I want to get into contact with it more. Now, how can I do that? Wow. So then I started yoga and I started learning these ancient techniques, these positions that you can place yourself in.
Wait, so when you got back from Romania, this was your like occupation. You just wanted more and more soul essence, huh?
Yes, more and more soul essence. I mean, it changed many, many things in me. Instead of being, for example, I was going to the conservatory, I was playing jazz music. I was like a hardcore tenor saxophone player. I was like practicing crazy amount of hours of saxophone every day. Jazz music is very, very demanding.
Yeah.
But after that, it was like my focus changed. Also, my music interest changed. I became much more interested in composing spiritual music, for example, music which helps people to meditate, music which helps people to gain contact with these emotions that I'd felt up in the mountains.
Right. Music's a big part of both your work together, mm-hmm. isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it is.
You have your band Isis?
Yes.
Like the Divine Goddess?
Yes, exactly.
And, let's go into like how you got into Tantra. So the yoga positions would create certain states of consciousness and how you both, yeah.
Exactly, because actually, as our spiritual master was saying, that all these deep emotions, they exist like kind of resonant fields in the universe. Like there's an energy of happiness out there. There's an energy of sadness out there. There's an energy of absolute bliss out there. There's an energy of enthusiasm out there.
Mm.
And all people know these feelings. I mean, we can all tap into these emotions. But the problem is that most of us, we kind of tap into these emotions kind of subconsciously. Then something triggers it usually. So you normally a person can go from being ecstatically happy and then some kind of external trigger something in him. And then he becomes very like angry all of a sudden. But by practicing yoga, you learn how to consciously tap into these kind of like, how do you say, these resonant fields.
Yeah, these resonant fields is a good way to say it. Yeah. So you started to become aware of these fields. So you became very sensitive, it sounds like, right? Is that?
Yes, yes.
And then, Maria, what did you start to learn from Hans as he opened up? Were you learning things about yourself and tapping in? What was that?
Yeah,
what was going on
sure.
for you?
Sure. I think when you evolve as a couple and practice Tantra together, what one person does for his or her spiritual development, you kind of share.
Mm-hmm.
You start sharing your energies, both, of course, through the love making, because you share or you exchange sexual energy, but you also exchange like your own being's resonances.
Mm.
So, I mean, when Hans has had a really, really deep meditation retreat, for sure, I feel it both when he comes back and especially when we make love.
How do you feel it when you make love?
I feel that that when you make love, you really just exchange resonances and you kind of borrow the other person's experience.
Mm.
So you kind of can absorb that experience in yourself.
And you feel it.
Yeah.
So you were in this Tantra school with Gregory, right?
Gregorian.
And how did you become teachers of Tantra? Because now you're traveling the world, you're putting out some beautiful products, making music. What was that point, Hans, where, you know, you felt you learned, like you wanted to do this? How did you, you know, this was something you were going to teach? Yeah.
Well, one of the biggest difficulties for me in Tantra was to master what is called sexual continence, because Tantra states that us men, we need to conserve our sexual energy.
Right. It's non-ejaculation, so, I think.
Yeah, not exactly. Non-ejaculation.
Yes.
The theory being that if you conserve your sexual energy, you can transmute the sexual energy, which then turns into a kind of etheric energy, which is stored at the second chakra. And then through the practice of yoga, as I mentioned before, you can refine this energy, so it goes in and it activates your other chakras, you know, so you gradually kind of expand each chakra and then lift the energy up to the other chakras.
So the hardest part was conserving the energy, you're saying?
This was very difficult for me, partly because I love sexual energy and partly because I simply had never really practiced control. So I would say I was obsessed with this for a couple of years, you know. I was doing the standard pelvic muscle exercises till I was green in the face, you know, and and I was standing on my head yoga practices, and I was, you know, I was really forcing. I was really forcing it through, you know. And it became very obsessive, you know.
Yeah, so what you mastered it then, huh?
I mastered it then, but it was only when I kind of realized a few things. For example, one of those things being how important it is to become relaxed in the body and to expand in the body. So instead of fighting it so hard, you just kind of relax into it.
Instead of tensing up for holding it, you relax and
yes, and expand and allow yourself to expand with energy. So it's almost like a bubble that kind of expands into the universe, a kind of pink bubble of ecstasy, like if we're working on the second chakra.
I know you're putting out a product for this, but and that will help men do that, right? Do you want to? I know we'll have you back on the show when you're finally out there, but tell me a little bit of the things you've learned. I mean, yes, relaxing. What else?
Well, yeah, it's actually quite a complex, it's kind of quite a simple system, but there are many steps. Because there are many people have got many different angles to come into this. But basically what I noticed with many men was that the first things that men have to address often when they have to like solve issues of premature ejaculation or loss of control is they have to forgive themselves first. They have to kind of find a balance or harmony in the energy systems. So one
especially
of the first
steps, if they know you're really not supposed to ejaculate. Once that is implanted in your mind and then you do, it's like then you're even harder on yourself.
Yeah. Then you're kind of caught up into this fear of ejaculation trauma syndrome.
That's funny.
So you want so badly to be able to keep it in that it actually becomes a blocking point for you.
Mm.
Because, I mean, this kind of thing takes training.
Yeah.
So we men, we got to be easy on ourselves, because maybe you might fall off the horse like 500 times before you master it.
Right.
But when you master it and you've fallen off you might have ejaculated 500 times, but then you're doing it properly at least. Instead of the guy who's repressing it, maybe he has ejaculated once on his journey, but is still not enjoying orgasmic bliss.
So what is the secret then that you've discovered?
Well, the secret is largely being able to relax into it, as I spoke.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, the greatest secret with expanding sexual energy is like driving a car, actually. You first, it's like you got to have the brakes, which is like the discipline.
Yeah.
So you got to work up this discipline, because a car without brakes, I mean, you drive off the cliff, right?
Right. right.
And so that's the first thing. So you cannot get around the discipline, because
the discipline is the physical, the contraction, the practice.
Yeah, the contraction. Yeah. Also the sublimation. Also the sheer willpower of wanting to expand.
Yeah.
Then the second overall step is being able to be relaxed, because I mean, if you can't drive a car and you're like totally tensed up, you know, you'd end up driving off the side of the cliff anyway, you know.
Right.
So I mean, us guys, we know that one of the best things in life is driving relaxed down in a beautiful new car with a beautiful woman by our side. That's absolute bliss.
That is bliss. That's almost as good as sex, isn't it?
Yeah. It is a kind of sex almost.
Yes, it is. So those are two approaches the men can take. Discipline, practicing, you know, the PC muscle contraction. And then, exactly. Of course, relaxing. And then how do you expand? Because a lot of men, and maybe me included, you know, we're so concentrating on the discipline, we forget to have the pleasure, the joy.
Mm. Well, pleasure, for example, can be much we men have to start consciously practicing our sensuality. Mm. I was once in a tantra group, like with 10, 15 people, where we had all kind of exercises with each other. A kaula group, as they're called. It's an ancient practice where you meet up a lot of people and you really start going into the tantric practices together. And one of our exercises was like really expanding the sensuality. So like we would go to perfume shops, for example, and smell every single perfume that was in the shop. So we could learn the differences between the smells, for example, you know.
Mm.
Or one way to expand your sensuality is to receive a lot of massage, for example, for us guys, you know, because we need to, the foreplay is very, very important for men when they have to learn to last longer in bed. because we men, we tend to rush. We want to go right to the good part.
Yeah.
And actually, yeah. Foreplay is more important for men than it is for women, believe it or not. It's counterintuitive, but because it teaches us men to expand and to feel the body and to awaken our heart.
So instead of just going like boom, wham, bam, you put that on the back burner and you say, I'm going to feel every part besides my penis, almost, right?
Yes, exactly. So you become a big penis. The whole body becomes a penis.
Ah, I like so that. Like,
so, I mean, the penis or the lingam, as it's called in Tantra, is just like, it's like a small part or representative of the whole. So it's like we should think of ourselves as big penises or big lingams.
I think I'm going to walk around like that as a big...
Yeah, it's a nice feeling, actually.
Great.
Yeah. So next time you feel like ejaculating, then instead of like visualizing, like men would subconsciously visualize that they ejaculate when the urge arises, but then somehow visualize that you're ejaculating through your crown center, through the top of your head.
Mm.
And this is actually quite nice because it's not so difficult. I mean, most men are pretty horny like in the early hours of the morning. That's when testosterone tops and we get our morning erections. And
yeah, like, the yang is rising, the Chinese.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So there it's easy for men to kind of fall into a kind of fantasy of making love or ejaculating, whatever men do. But here you can, for example, you can lie down and you can expand and you can imagine that you are pulling the sexual energy up along the spine and you're ejaculating through the top of your head and that you're having full body orgasms at the same time.
Mm.
And the body would be quite receptive to this. So in the morning when your mind is kind of switched off, but your body is more awake, then actually you can lie there and have expansive multi-orgasms if you train it.
I have the one question before I go to Maria, but do you ever then consciously ejaculate?
No.
You do not?
I don't.
Because the Taoists, and they do say, you don't need life force out of you.
Yes, yes. But here I want to, this allegory I had before, or this picture I had before of the car, the third thing I wanted to mention, so the first thing was the brakes, then the second thing was the relaxation. Then the third thing I wanted to mention was the GPS.
Mm.
Because this whole tantric system tells us that actually, we conserve our sexual life force because of our spiritual mission, and that our life force is like fuel in the car. And if we waste it, it's like we have a spiritual mission in our life, which is to reach point B. This is like our full potential.
What's point B? What is point B? Our full potential.
It's the full living out of what is that God or the divine or whatever has put us here to do.
Yeah.
So we each have this kind of life mission that we can accomplish, like the fulfillment of our absolute goal somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people can feel that they've been put here on Earth for some reason.
Right, right.
And either you can fulfill that reason or you can kind of not dare take the steps. I don't know if you know what I mean. And then you can
I know what you mean. So you're saying holding on to our sexual energy, our life force, helps us move towards our spiritual mission.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. All right, let me ask Maria, because, you know, men are big penises walking around like that. And, you know, there's a lot of discipline with men. We have to control it. Not saying women have it easier, because a lot of women are very closed down and shut down. But, you know, from your perspective, what do women... How do they become more sensual, more open, more tantric?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's a concept in Tantra called polarity.
Uh-huh.
And it's really interesting because it seems that men are good at things that women are not so good at, and women are good at certain things that men are not so good at.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in that way, we can also learn from each other.
Mm.
But women often have this inborn ability or quality or... They're just able to feel their bodies, and they're just able to go into their senses and from lovemaking, going into actually deeper states. But as you said, there's just something blocking it, which is the mind.
They're more sensual.
Yeah.
Mostly.
So
yeah.
We more have to open up and to stop thinking and to stop blocking.
Mm.
Where men, they actually, they have a more controlled mind often.
Right.
But they are not so able to feel their body.
Right, because they're more in their mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are more transcendent. I mean, they don't feel so much, but they
are more out.
Have a, yeah,
they're more. They have. What were you going to say? They're more.
I'm just saying that they are more in resonance with this concept of consciousness, where we as women are more in resonance with the energy, with the energetic, and
right.
thereby also our bodies.
So the consciousness
yes.
and the energy,
yes,
as a male
always
and female,
working together.
Yeah.
But when that being said, we can have this process of polarity between consciousness and energy within ourselves.
Right.
So like in a lovemaking situation, my body, my experience, my feelings, all that would be the energetic aspect, which is called Shakti.
Mm-hmm.
But the one experiencing this would be the consciousness aspect in Tantra called Shiva. That means in my own body-mind system, I have
right.
this inner polarity while I'm making love.
Right. So you're the Shakti feeling
yeah.
and you're Shiva observing.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And but when your men and women come together, when Shiva
mm-hmm.
meets Shakti, then, you know, then you have someone matching your polarity.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, how do you work with that, Hans? You know, as Shiva Shakti.
Well, first, there are many things that one can do, but where the real magic starts is when we start amplifying our own polarity. So when I start amplifying the Shiva aspect of my being and Maria starts amplifying the Shakti aspect of her being, then the attraction becomes enormous.
How do you do that? Tell our listeners, because I think they're probably wanting to do that.
For example, for women.
Yes.
For women nowadays are becoming more and more young or more and more masculine, more and more career focused.
Yes, they are.
That they are forgetting about what it means to be a woman in her emotion.
Yes.
But actually, you can lead people as a woman and be in your emotions at the same time. But women often forget these things and they adopt the masculine way of doing things.
Right. Well, I think women like Oprah, I mean, I like her. I think she's still in her femininity and, you know, is also a great leader for people. So anyway, there are women who have achieved that balance,
yeah,
but there are a lot of them, yeah, they put on the little suits and they forget that they're women. Yes.
It's important to remember that. I mean, if both of you are in your masculine,
yeah,
as women, we can go into our masculine, as
yeah.
men, they can go into the feminine.
Yeah.
So if both parts are in the same polarity, either both are yin or both are yang,
yeah.
then attraction is not starting.
Uh-huh.
So that's why you can consciously work on knowing how to tap into your feminine state and as a man to tap into your masculine state.
So how do you amplify your Shiva? And Marie will tell me about her Shakti.
Okay, I'll focus on the Shiva as I'm the Shiva guy. Well, one of the best and most important things you can do is to center yourself as a man,
mm-hmm.
to become vertical, actually, to meditate, for example, to meditate where you sit with your back straight and where you remain absolutely silent without moving a hair on your body and on a finger. You just sit there completely still with your spine completely vertical, because this will help you to center yourself. There's a magical kind of like point in the middle of your body which helps you to center yourself. So no matter how big your emotions are, no matter how big your feelings are, if you sit completely straight with the spine straight and you focus in the center of your being, you kind of reach a magical place.
Yeah.
And
that brings in the Shiva energy too, doesn't it?
Yes, this is where the Shiva energy resides. So if you can contact this kind of, it's like the center in the middle of the storm, which is completely still. Because if you look at a hurricane from above, I know you guys in America, you have been quite unfortunate with all these hurricanes that are
right.
that battering upon your shores. But if you look at these hurricanes from above in these satellite photos, you can see there's this kind of center in the middle of the storm where it's absolutely quiet, uh-huh. absolutely still. So in the tantric view of life, men should attain to try and enter this stillness, because then they can be the center of the storm in the middle of their own emotional turmoil, but also in the emotional turmoil of their woman.
Because women are very dramatic. They have a lot of emotions. They change like the winds and the weather, and they and you and the man, the male energy has to hold that
exactly.
The winds as it moves around him. Yes.
Yes. Of course, a man should not be rigid, but he should change his mind less than the woman. So the woman, a woman might change her feeling or her emotion, and then she'll check up with the guy. I'm feeling like this and like this and like this. And often if the man just says, oh yeah, I'm also feeling like that and like that and like that, and they both kind of break down emotionally and fall into the water,
right?
Then it's like the attraction and the polarity disappears.
The more still and empowered the man is in that Shiva energy, the more the woman can express the Shakti as the movement.
The more she can express herself. Because the more you're in the stillness, the more you just observe. So when a woman comes and says something, mm-hmm. or you just observe it and you look at it. And sometimes what she says is like completely different from the actual emotion that is being said to you.
So if
a man is not centered, he would react on the what she is saying, instead of empathizing and feeling where the woman is coming from.
So if the woman thank shouts you for that man, piece.
Yes, yes, it's
okay. So
if she's saying, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you," and then the man reacts by saying, "I hate you too, I hate you too. Why you always say you hate me? It makes me so sad." You know, he's reacting. If he's still, he says, "Oh, you hate me? What's wrong, sweetheart?" It's something completely different. He realizes that she's saying that I hate you because she actually loves him. Or maybe she's sad about something.
But she's just so full of emotion, she probably doesn't even know what she feels, right?
Yes, exactly.
And so if the man holds that energy, it allows the expression and goes to a deeper place.
Yes.
So as exactly. a Shakti then... how do you increase your Shakti? Not by becoming more dramatic and emotional. Mm-hmm. I hope not.
No.
Maybe.
No.
Oh, tell me.
It's important also that just to distinguish between feelings and deeper emotions.
Uh-huh.
And as Shaktis, we do easily get caught in feelings. But
right.
we also have access to very fine, refined emotions.
Well, how do you increase the Shakti, though?
Yes.
If Hans is increasing his Shiva,
mm-hmm.
how would you do to increase your Shakti? Like what action?
There are many different things you can do. And in our programs that we made, we teach different techniques. And there are techniques that implies body work,
mm-hmm.
like things you do to be able to open up your energy channels, to feel more energy in your body. That is work on the Shakti.
But if you're with someone and they're being like more Shiva-la and they mm-hmm. want to increase the attraction, just what's a simple thing you do?
Yeah. There are some kind of feminine movements and masculine movements. And they kind of go together.
What's so a feminine movement?
A feminine movement is all that is this yin shakti essence. You can describe it as accepting and loving.
Surrendering almost.
Surrendering. All these, many people would say, okay, that would be feminine qualities by intuition.
Uh-huh.
All these things are something that can take you from a stressed masculine state
mm-hmm.
That you can have as a woman after a long day at work. Mm-hmm. You've been having to take all kind of decisions. You're stressed. You didn't have time to reload your feminine yin essence. Mm-hmm. When you consciously go into, okay, I accept the moment. This is what I want. This is how it is. This is how I feel. This is great. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
Being positive about it, loving the situation mm-hmm. as it is, mm-hmm. all that is increasing her Shakti.
But you have to have a trust there if you're going to do that. Talk about that with Hans, let's say. Did you learn to trust him, or did you know to trust him? And the more you trust him, does the connection gets better, sexual connection?
That's a very good question.
Yes.
It's, of course, sometimes as a woman, you totally trust the man, and other times you just feel, oh, he's not in this place you want him to be, where you just feel that he's this Shiva firmness. Sometimes he's confused and he doesn't know what he reads the map wrong and goes the wrong direction, whatever.
Right.
But as a Shakti, you kind of have to just let the polarity be relative, and it doesn't matter if he makes a mistake or he didn't really exactly have that. You kind of, you see beyond that, okay, might just turn left, he should have turned right, but you see still, okay, this is a man. And you consciously look at the men as a Shiva.
Right, those women that are saying, oh, men wrong, you did that wrong, you know, they're poking holes in that masculine energy.
Yeah, and as a woman, you tend to think, I'm going to help him to correct him all the time, and then probably he will eventually get it. But it doesn't really help men.
It doesn't.
So if you, instead of going into this like, oh, don't do this and don't do that, if you just keep silent a bit, if you just withdraw and accept the
without
situation.
Without criticism.
Yeah, if you just accept.
Well, supportive more then. Like, you're supporting the man in, even if they're going in the wrong direction. Maybe.
Yeah, you support him, and by supporting him, I don't mean to help him and say, like, do this and that, because some women think, okay, now I'm supporting, but that's actually distracting him.
Right.
What you know is that you want him to be back in his Shiva center, and he just needs peace for that. That's why men always go alone if they need to solve something.
So men naturally have the Shiva center, of course, but if they're, you know, having to battle the woman becoming, you know, rising up that masculine, then there's two masculine energies fighting it out.
Yeah.
That's usually what's at the bottom of arguments.
Yeah.
It's like,
so it's
this
two
way.
Two persons in the lower masculines.
Lower masculines, yes.
So by just saying, okay, I go into my, instead of I going to my emotions or feelings and make it even bigger storm, I just withdraw a little bit. I go up in my higher feminine.
Well, you don't go into judgment.
No, then eventually he will center.
He will center and find the right direction. Yeah. So because you're supporting that energetically.
Yes.
Is that true, Hans? Do you find that? Has that been your experience?
Yes, absolutely. So like if you are with a woman and she starts battling you, kind of like Maria was talking about, she goes into a lower masculine, then you become two kind of like men squabbling over the right direction. And then the attraction just somehow kind of loses way. I mean, to bring back this picture of the car, us guys, we feel great when we're in control, we're driving the car, we're relaxed, the car is nice, we have a beautiful woman next to us, we know the direction and we're going there in a relaxed way. Yes. And the woman, she feels totally relaxed and comfortable, and she's like leaning up against us and she's touching us and she's playing with her hair and she's stroking our arm. You know, we feel like men, you know, it's a good feeling.
Yes, it's so supportive, totally, you know, empowering. Yes, I agree.
Yes, it's empowering. We feel great.
Yes. I think that's what you said before. A lot of women, because a lot of women, our society is evolving, have found themselves alone, and they've had to become their own masculine, and then sometimes it makes it harder to drop that and connect with the masculine that they want in their life. So what do you suggest in those cases? How do, you know, women who especially have had to be the masculine, you know, have had to have direction and all that, how do they suddenly drop that in a relationship where, you know, they're coming together?
There's only one thing you can do, actually, and that's work on your own polarity, because you can never force another person to change. So the only thing, for example, now I'm a guy, so the only thing I'd say to guys is change yourself. Because whenever a woman starts reacting towards you in a way that you don't like, or starts bossing you around, or starts acting disrespectfully, is because you, as a man, are not living up to what it means to be a man. And then you just take it as feedback. Because as I was speaking before about this concept of the soul, we just pass through life, and we get lesson after lesson after lesson. And everything that happens in our life is just a lesson, just a feedback from Shakti. So if we call the soul as something that's quite close to our divine nature, and therefore the Shiva or the masculine aspect, then everything that happens to us on this divine journey is just kind of like an outer reflection of an inner state.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd always say to the guys, yes, you're having problems with your woman, but in essence, it's because you have to work with yourself.
So what do they do to work with themselves? How do they do that?
Well, they start, for example, they start to center themselves. For example, I tell them, go meditate, sit with your back straight, feel all your emotions, accept all your emotions. Don't try and push anything down or to put anything aside or to negate anything. Just embrace it.
Uh-huh.
And embrace your own Shakti to thereby become more Shiva.
Right. And okay.
That's
and
what's then, okay. happening in meditation.
I get that. So then, okay, let's move into like then the sexual area. Okay, we become this, we become empowered. The woman becomes more feminine, more open, more loving, more receptive. The masculine is more still, more empowered, more powerful in that masculine energy. Then talk about then the sexual energy. How do we start to use that for higher purposes? You want to talk, Maria, about mm-hmm. that? Yeah, talk about yeah. that.
We would start with, maybe we can start about talking about those seven steps in Tantra. That's what actually a kind of ancient formula that is a copy of the process that happens when you do practice Tantra, but you can kind of imitate, and in that way you get faster into the process.
What are the seven steps?
So the first steps, it's to make a space for the energy.
Mm.
Energy has always a direction. It's always flowing somewhere.
Ah.
If you start to have a space between you two as two poles, like the Shakti pole, the Shiva poles,
mm-hmm.
and you have this space moving between you.
Spinningness?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
From giving to receiving all the time, from plus to minus.
Would you say that's also a good way to start coming together sexually with someone?
Exactly.
Before intercourse, you create the energy between
Precisely.
You two.
Precisely. You sit down. You can hold hands. You can start to feel how the energy naturally and by itself starts to flow from right to left, from plus to minus.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Okay, that's a step one.
That's the first step.
That's a nice step. Okay.
Yes.
And step two?
Step two, it is to amplify this energy between Shiva and Shakti by consciously transfigurating each other.
What does that mean?
That means to look, transfiguration as a word means to look beyond the form.
Mm-hmm.
So as a woman, instead of I sit there and say, oh, that's the guy with the socks all over and who didn't clean the sink.
Are you talking
whatever.
About me?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Then you just see, okay, this man, mm-hmm. it's my man, I know him,
mm-hmm.
but he's a representation of the divine masculine, of Shiva.
Of all men.
Of all
the
men.
Male energy.
So where can I find that drop in him, that special space where I can really feel that this is just emanating out of him, the Shiva.
Mm.
In that way, I start immediately to become more Shakti myself.
When you find the Shiva in him,
it
connects with the Shakti in you.
Yeah, so that's as a parenthesis, I would say that's also one of the practices as a woman to be more open and less in your kind of lower masculine. Mm. It is to always see the Shiva in the men. Even doesn't matter who, in the bus, on the street, you just
That's
see.
A practice.
Yeah, that's a very, very nice and pretty advanced practice.
Mm.
It sounds simple, but it's actually advanced.
And of course, Hans, for the men, of course, to see the Shakti in all women, right?
Yes, exactly. So to look into her eyes and to feel the divine feminine there.
In all women that you look into?
Yes.
And you do that as a practice?
Yes.
Yes.
I do that as a practice as often as I can. No matter which woman I'm standing, I'll try and feel that this woman is the divine feminine. She's there to be my lover or to be maternal to me or to transmit feminine energy to me.
Even if she's giving you a hard time and whoever it might be, but all right, no, but that makes sense. You know, I think that's a great practice. I think people should do that. They should practice. That's bringing the divine into the everyday world. And then, then what's the third step? You wanna say, Maria?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So the third step is the foreplay to awaken the sexual energy.
To touch the person?
To
Sorry, that drilling here.
We hear some drilling. Put your thing on mute. One.
Yeah. Oh. Does that help?
Well, you can mute your microphone when you're not talking, if you want. Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
And then when okay.
Yeah. So
you're saying
the third step is the foreplay. The third step is actually to awaken the sexual energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you started making a space for it. You started to be centered in your poles in the transfiguration, and now you start to awaken the sexual energy. Of course, there's endless ways of doing it, but what is important is to maintain this tantric attitude of this inner polarization. It sounds maybe very complicated, but actually it's just having this tantric attitude means to both be very passionate, be in the Shakti pole, and in the same time very aware.
Wait, so is that the touching phase?
Yeah, you touch it. You can start with a massage.
But you don't touch genitally yet.
You can touch genitally after a while. But you can have, for example, you can have a massage that gradually develops into
sexuality.
Yeah, or an erotic massage.
Ah.
You can even adore the yoni, adore the lingam in a way where you massage and use your fingers, hands, mouth.
Do you do that before every lovemaking session?
I think everybody does, even though they're not tantric. They would start, mostly people would start with a foreplay because it's a natural way to awaken the sexual.
But you consciously do this before. You just don't jump into it.
And the important thing is this inner attitude.
Yeah.
Where you both awaken more consciousness and more energy.
Hans, are you still there?
Yes, I moved into another room.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that. So that's the third. You heard that. So the third part. Yeah. Then you would. So we'd be each before each when you're with Maria. You've been together for what? 13 years now.
Yeah.
14
years.
Yes.
Do you consciously do that every time you make love with each other?
Yes. Every time. Every time.
Every time. It's no like, let's just go for it.
No.
No, not really. This is every time, yeah.
That's great. Well, I'm proud of
you. Sometimes if we're very passionate, maybe we might make some of these a bit shorter.
Yeah.
Thank you for being honest. What's the fourth step then?
The love making positions.
The positions.
Yeah.
So you would consciously get into a certain position.
The positions is, I mean, the step is to exchange the sexual energy, while the third step was to awaken it.
Uh-huh.
Now you start really to exchange it.
Is this penetration?
Yes. And you do exchange the energy primarily through the different positions, and you change the energy in different ways.
But isn't there a ritual of penetration before you get there? It's just like, you know, isn't it like, you know, an approach to the sacred cave, I think the Taoists call it. So
yes, I would just say that would be in the foreplay.
That's in the foreplay.
I mean,
there's no special penetration ritual. I don't know, not in your practice. Okay, so the positions, and there's many, many positions.
There are many different positions, but they are divided into groups, you could say. And the most important difference between the positions is whether one part is active or passive. So there would always be one part is active.
You mean the woman might be more active than the men might be. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Ah.
And in that way, it's important to start the tantric lovemaking in a position where the man is most active and the woman is passive.
Which position is that?
That would be, for example, something that is called these positions that reminds of the missionary position.
The missionary position.
So the man on top, the woman lying down, you can say always the one who's on top is the active part. So when the woman sits on the man, she starts to be the active part.
Uh-huh.
In that way, you know that because the woman is like, in Taoism, they say that it's women women are like water,
uh-huh,
men are like fire,
right,
women are slower starters. Mm-hmm. This is common knowledge for any couple, even though they don't practice tantra. Everybody right. can resonate with that.
Women start slow. Their energy to ignite the sexual exactly. energy is slower.
As yeah. soon as she has got the spark and she's open and ready,
uh-huh.
she can be the active part.
So the man's on top, activating the spark in the woman.
Exactly.
And then once she's getting the fire,
yeah.
then she can bring the Shakti energy in.
To him, yeah.
Why does the woman have to, once, because they, why would they switch positions at that point, you know, for the woman being on top, if because they're more active? Would it be, Hans, to conserve the male energy?
Well, yes, in the start, it's good for men to be active, to have control.
Yeah.
During the foreplay, they have awakened, they have awakened this kind of receptivity in their being.
Yeah.
Then, when you start lovemaking, it's good to consolidate and suddenly get control. So this whole tantric lovemaking is like a stairway where you as a, especially as a man, you have to train on opening yourself and becoming receptive and then suddenly becoming active.
Yeah.
And then like as through your being active, you like kind of transmute the energy to a higher state or consciousness. And then you expand in that new state and then you contract again into a kind of focused state.
So do you plan these things out? Do you say, okay, we'll go to position 1, 2, and 3?
No.
No. How does it work with you guys? I mean, you've now been together 14 years. I'm sure you've had met. But no, is it more like feeling your way?
Like feeling your way.
Uh-huh.
But it's very, very good to know how things are working. And then you would, when you're told this position, works in that way, then you can consciously like tune into it.
Like give me a position, like which other position, you know. Like
if we take the, when the man is taking the woman from behind.
Uh-huh, so the man's behind the woman, yeah, yes.
Because we've talked a little bit about polarity.
Yes.
This is a position that's actually really, on a deep level, awakening the polarity between Shiva and Shakti.
Uh-huh.
He is upright,
uh-huh.
he is like a lingam,
yeah.
he's straight, he has his head up
uh-huh.
towards the sky.
Uh-huh.
The woman is in this accepting, surrendering
bent
position.
Over. Yes.
Yeah. She has her head towards the ground.
Yes.
And she's totally surrendering to him.
Uh-huh.
It's really, really a very nice way. It awakens her heart because she's able to surrender. And it's waking also his heart, but also his transcendent energy. I mean, his transcendence.
So that's a position to heighten the polarity.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And you can say things about any position.
Mm.
Any position in Tantra is actually like a yoga position. Many people know that yoga positions have different effects.
Physiological effects on the health as well. Yes.
But they do also have a way that they are stimulating the energy to go through the chakras.
Mm.
So any yoga position has a chakra, it's awakening. And the same, both the tantrics and the Taoism say that all the lovemaking positions, they do have a special effect. I mean, for a certain effect.
Yeah.
For example, the Taoists, they even have like, they're so physical.
Mm.
They have positions that is good for the liver. And the kidneys and
right. Mata Chi has outlined a whole program for that. Yeah.
And Tantra is a little more in this emotional and psycho-spiritual energies. So Tantra would say any position has a way to stimulate certain feelings, certain higher states of consciousness.
And what's one of your favorite positions, Hans?
Well, the one that Maria just mentioned there. I like that very much.
You know, I like yab yam, you know, where the woman's sitting on the man's lap and you're facing each other and you're both sitting.
Yes, it's very nice.
What is that power in that position? Or in the empowerment, would you say?
Well, this would generally be one of the last positions where you have kind of reached a kind of mutual, kind of almost blissful somatic state with each other. And you're like, because it's quite meditative, actually. And also, when you see this position often in all these Buddhist statues, these tantric Buddhist statues where the Buddha is sitting there with the woman sitting on top of him.
Yeah.
It's because it kind of represents a kind of cosmic union.
I see.
So in this kind of position, I would be almost meditative, contemplative with the woman on me. I'd be very focused on.
I see. So in your practice and your lovemaking practices and also what you teach, you go through a series of how many positions would you say?
We don't have a certain amount of positions. We more have these types of positions have these type of effects and these types of positions, because we don't want to say you have to have your hand like that and your foot like that, because after all the inner focus matters so much as well. But it is good to know something about how the energy is running through your meridians and chakras and so on in each of the positions, definitely.
What were you going to say, Hans?
Yeah, the same thing, that there's a broad array of different positions that you can use on each step of the way, but
you wouldn't want to have
a degree of freedom.
You wouldn't want to tell people 5 minutes in that position and then two minutes. I mean, that wouldn't be. I mean, it has to be natural, of course.
What's that, Hans?
And it wouldn't be responsible either to give people the exact positions either before they have learned a lot of yoga first.
Yeah.
So yoga goes in hand with these.
Hand in hand, exactly, because if we never give these positions explicitly to people who haven't learned a lot of yoga first or are following us in a class, because if they start doing these things and they're not prepared in these different positions, then their chakras and their meridians aren't open.
I see.
It's a kind of gentle guidance.
Okay, so that was only the fourth step. You said there's seven steps. So love making the actual act is the fourth step.
Yes.
What else is after? That is that's not it, is it?
Yeah, so no, we're not finished yet.
Okay.
So after exchanging the sexual energy.
Without ejaculating, of course, right,
yes,
Hans?
No, without ejaculating.
Wait, but let me just.
I would like to mention here that when you've been through all of this, you've been through the creating the tantric space, you've been through the foreplay, you've been through the transfiguration, the foreplay, all these different positions here. At that point, you don't feel like ejaculating anymore as a man.
Mm-hmm.
This urge to ejaculate, it actually disappears after 10 minutes of tantric lovemaking if you've been through all the other steps. You simply don't feel like it anymore because your heart starts awakening. You start getting orgasms under different chakras.
And of course, I've learned the cobra breath where you pull the energy up the spine.
Yes.
So you're moving the energy from the genital area up, like you say, to the other chakras.
Yes. Yes.
But you're still excited. You're still sexually turned on.
Yes, you're still sexually turned on.
Uh huh. Okay.
But at the same time as you're turned on, turned on is like a state, say, would be on the very much in the sexual organs, but you get. Your awakening kind of states of by the time the energy reaches the heart, for example, then you have deep states of love, of union, of bliss with your beloved.
And
by the time it reaches your throat chakra, you know, you're expanding into the universe, you know, you start having glimpses of, you might have glimpses of former lives if you're awakened. You might have a feeling that you're floating in outer space. You might have out-of-body experiences where you're looking at yourself making love. All these different kind of things you might be experiencing.
How do you bring the energy up the chakras like that?
By amplifying it through the correct positions, by focusing in the chakra that you're working with, by consciously breathing in the right way, by moving your focus from the sexual area and then up to the area you're working with. And when you feel that the energy is the sexual energy is not sustaining it anymore, then you go down and focus in the sexual area again to awaken energy. So it's like you're bouncing back and forth and you're like pulling the energy up more and more. And of course, by having a very strict tantric yoga practice next to lovemaking, especially important for us guys, where we're doing a lot of yoga and breathing exercises.
Are you then pulling with intention to the sexual energy of certain chakras in the body then?
Yes, you pull with intention is a great part of it. Uh-huh. And breath work is another very important part of it.
I see.
Mm. And sometimes you can use the pelvic muscles to push the energy upwards also.
Okay. Thank you.
Most techniques for this channeling of the energy, they work on those three things simultaneously, like the pelvic muscles, different mudras as it's called, and the breath and the mind, the focus.
Mm. Okay, so what are the other steps then?
The fifth step is like after the four steps where you exchange the sexual energy, then you expand it.
Together?
Yes.
How do you do that? What does that mean?
It means that you consciously, you actually just continue to make love, but you expand the energy into your bodies, energy bodies.
Mm.
And it's a process that happens by itself when you have learned to make love in a tantric way. But by imitating it, you can you make some different exercises that imitates this process.
Like and what?
Yeah, actually, that's what we have just talked about. For example, you can sit in Yab Yum and you do certain things to work the energy up towards the spine and then expand it into your energy bodies.
Mm.
So that is a step that is in this formula in order to make you expand your energy into the tantric state of orgasm. Mm.
So you're sitting in Yab Yum and you're together, you're visualizing the swirling energies like up the spine.
Yes, and you are making things with your breath. You are using your pelvic muscles. You're doing certain techniques in order to expand and channel the energy
into the field, and then you have certain cosmic experiences.
Yes, you can have. Yes.
Maybe you do and maybe you don't. Yeah. Mm.
Yes.
So is that good? That's number five for you too, right, Hans? I guess.
Yes. The expansion of the sexual energy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's really like filling up the space around you. You can almost visualize that you're like lifting the energy out of your pelvic region into your heart, and then you expand the energy from your heart like a bubble almost.
Then what's the next step after that, Hans?
The channeling.
Then the next step is then you sit across from each other and you make a gratitude, gratitude session.
You remove the lingam from the yoni at that point.
Yes.
Is there a certain practice for removing the lingam from the yoni?
Yeah, there is.
What would that be?
Yeah, well, we can't.
Just simple. What? What? Is it too complicated?
Yeah, no, it's just that we can't say all the specific things, but there.
Why you can't say it?
You can say in general that you have an inner state while you do it, and that state is the state of transfiguration.
The man,
and you absorb the energy into yourself.
Is it a secret practice? You're saying is that why you can't tell me the? That's why you don't want to say it.
And it's advanced practice.
It's advanced practice.
Yes, and it's certain formulas and
certain. What do you mean formulas? And like mantras?
More like poetic inner things you can say, like a kind of prayer. It's not obligatory or completely like you have to do it, but it is a certain practice that comes at advanced levels. So in order not to confuse people who are like starting on
I know, but it's a way of for the man to keep that yin energy in him, even though he may be separating at that point. So it's a way of and of course it's the way of keeping the woman full of the Shiva energy, even though it's no longer there. And so there's certain ritual or practices that...
Yeah, it's more like an inner ritual.
An inner ritual that you do together or with yourself?
That you do in yourself silently.
With your partner, though.
Yeah, like in the step three, the transfiguration part.
Uh-huh.
So it's very much this inner transfiguration.
Uh-huh. Is there books about this?
Yes, there are.
What books are there?
I don't recall right now in exact where they are in the scriptures, but I know that there are explanations why and how and what are the exact inner things you can say. And that would be in the like very, very original tantra. That is mostly disappeared from
Kashmir Shaivism tantra.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so then the male and female, they separate and they sit across from each other, and then they do what? I mean, in your, what's the, they just acknowledge each other or they what?
Basically, you can say it's a thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
You thank not only your husband or wife or your man or your woman, your partner, you give thanks in your inner self to the Shiva and Shakti.
So you're acknowledging the divine presence in them and in you and the gift of that exchange.
So you started really like to say, okay, we are Shiva and Shakti in this cosmic dance, which is our lovemaking. And maybe during the way you forgot a little bit about that.
Right. You get into a little bit of pleasure stuff, yes.
Maybe. In this way you ensure that when you get back that, I just reconnect again. Ideally, you stay in that state, of course, through the whole lovemaking, in the Shiva Shakti state.
That's good. So when you separate and you still acknowledge that state, you're maintaining that awareness of their divinity throughout the day. Okay, and that's six then.
That's the sixth step.
And the seventh, last final step is to what?
The what is called the echo effect or the lavina effect.
What does that mean?
Avalanche.
The what?
The avalanche effect. Do you want to say about that, Hans?
Yeah, Hans, tell us.
Well, yes. When a man and woman have made love, a man, he gets a yin state. He expands. He suddenly feels the universe. So he's lying on his back and he's saying, wow, I feel so great. But at the same time, the woman has gotten a yang state. She's become masculine. She's gotten a masculine energy in her. So she's like, yes, it's nice that you're expansive and stuff. Let's do something. And if you're not careful there, you might swap polarity. So the man might go away being very yin, feminine. The woman might be very masculine. So actually, when you start feeling this becoming too much, if you start becoming too yin as a man, you start having cravings for sugar, for example. You want dessert, and a woman starts being very active and she wants to start bossing you around and everything, then you know you got to get out of there as quickly as possible. You just got to speed up.
So why do you call it avalanche? Is what does that mean? What do you mean
avalanche? Because an avalanche can start from a little snowball rolling down a hill. And it gathers snow, and before you know it, it's like this huge mass of snow that's kind of toppling down the side of the mountain. The same thing with the lovemaking. If you, for example, can leave each other with a positive idea or suggestion between the two of you, and if you leave each other and you go as far away as possible away from each other, you start an avalanche effect where you start amplifying positive energies between you.
So after you separate, you're not saying you should just run out of there.
No, you should run. You should love each other.
No, I'm kidding.
So you must be very, very angry.
Yes, no, I'm kidding. But you're saying there's a slight imbalance? Not really. No, you're not saying that. But you're saying
There's a potential tendency for imbalance, which can be rectified by the couple splitting up.
By doing their own thing, separating for a little bit.
Yes, exactly, by separating. And it's very important
that you use this time
very wisely.
Yeah, and the avalanche aspect is also because energies tend to expand after the lovemaking. You have a certain effect while you can feel, I mean, it's strong when you make love, but it's continuing after the lovemaking. It's actually going on many hours after, and you will change your state and they will be more subtle. But also deeper. And in that way, it's pretty important. I mean, if you're serious about really like awakening your consciousness and your energies and really with the tantra, to also stay a little bit centered and alone
and to feel the energy
and the effects in your being.
It sounds good. One more question though. What about the female orgasm? As she orgasms out and the Shiva energy is still, is there ways of absorbing that orgasmic energies into the male body, or is it just happening naturally, of course?
Or is if a woman is orgasming,
yes,
two things can happen with men. They can either kind of like go into it, lose the control and kind of complete and then ejaculate by mistake because they can't keep it, or they can center themselves further and further into their own Shiva energy.
Yeah, because it's easy to get lost in that orgasmic and just, you know, be pulled along with it because
it's... Yes, it's very easy.
Yeah.
And therefore, I tell men that if they're afraid of losing it when a woman starts orgasming, then they should do the opposite of what they would tend to do. Usually they would tense up and panic. You know, most men would like touch the, press the panic button, you know. But here, because the man is trained, he's done his yoga, he's expanded with his breathing exercises, instead of pressing the panic button, he presses the centering Shiva button.
Mm.
And then he becomes still. He becomes completely still. And something amazing happens when a man becomes completely still in the lovemaking is that the woman starts screaming louder and louder and gets wilder and wilder, and the orgasm becomes immense. So what I've discovered when making love is that if I suddenly become completely silent when the woman starts orgasming, then it kind of explodes everything into this blissful state where she's orgasming totally, she's screaming, she's like totally into it, and I'm like kind of completely still.
But you're absorbing that pleasure, aren't you?
Yes, I'm absorbing the pleasure, but it's rotating around me exactly like in the storm.
Ah.
Present. But this storm, it's pushing me out into enlightenment or into bliss. So I'm like two in one. I'm Shiva. I'm totally present. I'm in contact with my deepest being, but I'm totally in her orgasm, in her energetic body, meaning that I'm absorbing her energy also. It's going into my body. I feel the state. I feel what it means to be her. I can take the state with me when I go into the avalanche effect afterwards and meditate upon it. I've absorbed it in that way. It's part of my physical body. It's part of my etherical body. Mm. It's part of my astral body. It's part of my mental body. It's part of my bliss.
Is that part of one of the highest points of, because of it's you don't have a goal for the woman to orgasm, but for what that happens is that, would you say that's the highest point of the tantric experience for the man, maybe, and maybe the woman, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, definitely. I mean, yes. If you're kind of orgasm centered, which a lot of Western people, I would say, whoa, all searching for, oh, that's the point. But the thing is that the more you practice this, the more often that these states come of centering. And actually, you might also have this kind of state I described here, orgasmic state, while you're doing your yoga after the lovemaking itself.
All right. Well, no, I think this is a pretty complete program. Of course, you're creating products and you're going much deeper. I mean, this was a very good outline, I think, of the whole practice. And it's very exciting to hear both of you, who are so connected to each other, you know, be so much in alignment with the teachings like this. So what's going to be coming up for you, you know, as you expand your teaching practices, Hans? What would you say? And then I'll ask Maria.
Well, as I said before, I made this program for men in Denmark called Tantra Cure, which was to help men to control these energies, because most of the work actually is for us guys.
Yeah.
In front of this sexual stamina and to be able to transmute the sexual energy and how to learn to deal with sexual energy and not lose it during the night or when sleeping, or not be careless with it. Now I've like tested the market in Denmark, and I know what issues people have and what questions they have. Like through my products, I have forums where I can speak with the men, so I pretty much know all the hurdles on the way. Now the next step is to expand onto the international market with this.
So that's going to be a product, a book or a CD?
Yes, it's going to be an online product. It's going to be a three-month course which guides men through all the steps.
A CD, an audio.
Audio and video online. So you join up onto a membership site. When you join up, you enter a membership site where you have access to videos and audios and training videos, which you follow every day for around an hour.
Mm-hmm. I know you're working on the site, but what will that site be eventually when you're get it all together? What's the website?
It exists already. It's called tantracure.com.
Tantracure, C-U-R-E, right?
C-U-R-E.com. Mm-hmm. And you can, as it is now, you can buy a PDF which outlines many of the things we've been speaking about today, but very much for the men, like all the practices they should make. And it also includes a forum where they can speak with me.
And then,
so this is like the version 1.0. But what I'm speaking about here is the version 2.0, where I'll include videos and training videos, and it becomes a 3-month course.
And then Maria has just said to me, if you want to follow you, what's Tantra New?
Yes, and then you can visit tantra.nu.
Yeah.
Tantra.nu. And where you can like follow us, and we'll give you more tantric tips and more information about the 7 steps that we outlined here.
So basically there will be a technique or some insight every week that you will receive for free if you sign up at this tantra.nu. And this is a place where we host all our different products, because we both have for men and women and couples. So this is like the main place.
Tantra.nu is your place. And then, of course, do you travel around the world giving workshops too, Hans?
Yes,
Hans, you do that?
Yeah, we do actually. Mostly at the moment, it's mostly been focused in Denmark. And in Sweden, I've had some I've been speaking at the Tantra festivals in Denmark and in Sweden. Me and Maria were in Thailand here in January, February. We were having lectures in Chiang Mai and other places in Thailand about polarity, for example, where we're speaking about the difference between men and women. And I had workshops with men where I was discussing the elements of conserving sexual energy.
I think it's very important. Men don't realize how valuable that energy is. Of course, you know, the semen is the most vital, nutrient-rich element in the body that takes so much vitality to produce.
Yes.
And so we need to absorb it back into our bodies.
Need to absorb it. It's a grace for us men that we have this power within us. It's our way back to divinity, so to say. Like in his sublime wisdom, the divine has provided a path for us back.
Our ability to control our bodily functions, you mean?
Yes. There's this liquid, this sexual fluid that we have is like our ticket back home.
Well, it's so what separates us from the animals, you know, in a way.
Yes.
We have that conscious awareness. So, yeah, it's our ticket back home. That's a good way of putting it. Thank you for that. And any final words, Maria?
I'll just say enjoy and be passionate, and then in the same time, conscious. So that's like the essence.
Passionate and conscious.
Yeah.
Passionate and conscious. Yes, that's nice.
That's the Shiva Shakti, the essence of Tantra.
I like that. Passion, conscious, passion and conscious. Well, thank you, Hans. Hope to see you again soon.
You, Ellen.
And Maria, I'm sure I'll see you again soon.
Yes.
Okay, so just give them your website so people can find you.
So the main website where we host all our different products for men, women, and couples, it's tantra.nu. That's where you can sign up for newsletter and get weekly tips and techniques.
And I've been talking to Hans Vass. How do you say it?
Hans Vass.
Vass.
Yes.
And Maria Nilsson.
Yes, that's right.
The Denmark's leading tantric couple, because they are traveling the world, creating products, teaching tantra. And really, I think, you know, you've given a very clear, talked to lots of tantra people on this program, but this seems very easy, clear, direct, and, you know, matter of fact, and also, you know, has that divine element in it both. So thank you. Thank you both for being.
Thank you, Alan. Nice talking to you.
Nice.
Yes.
Thank you. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, you could email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and go to my website, newrealities.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you, BBS. And good night.